could sing it all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Chronicles. We're going to be looking there tonight in the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, I'll give you a moment to find in chapter number 6, also in chapter number 7, in the book of 2 Chronicles. If you find the place you're able to stand, we're going to read a verse here and there. And we'll notice that in this lesson here that we see, verse number 20 of chapter 6, that thine eyes may be open unto this house day and night, upon the place whereof that thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Now, in the first part of that passage there, he talked about, quote, this house. Or look in verse number 32. That's the number of years that Brother Joe and Miss Sandy have been married. Verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house. Well, we're talking about a house for Jews or Gentiles. Look at verse 33. Then hear thou from heaven, from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doeth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. All right, now chapter 7, one passage there. Verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my people may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the goodness of God. We bless your name, and Lord, how we praise you and thank you for the good singing that we've had, for these boys and girls that are growing up to be young men and young ladies. How we pray you'd build a hedge about them to protect their heart and their mind. Lord, how we pray that now that you'd move upon and within them and move in their behalf, and Lord, I pray that you'd make trophies for Christ out of each and every one of them. Bless, I pray now, this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to say it's a blessing to be a part of this house. Amen. I want to notice whenever you get to look in the Bible is that you'll find out that God has much to say about this house. Now, in the Old Testament, the house of God was the temple. That's what we know. And let me tell you right now, but in the New Testament, we know that the house of God is the church of the living God, as by giving over there in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, I was thinking about in the town, I saw a sign in front, and it said the name of their church on it, and said, anyone can come here. Well, anyone can come here where we're at. It's just not everyone can stay here. They not only have everybody coming there, they got people that can stay there. It don't make any difference if they got cocaine on their nose, if they got liquor on their breath. It don't matter if they're committing adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, conniving, swapping around. It doesn't matter to them. You can tell by looking at them that they might be welcome, but it's according to the standards of the religious-minded world, and that's not this house that we've been reading about here tonight. Do you realize, and I want to make a statement here that probably might just blow your socks off, but if a person not going to a right church with the word of the Lord, they'd be better off going nowhere. You know what going to a wrong church does? It says their dead conscience. It makes them feel good about themselves like they are without ever the need to repent. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that I'm glad that I know the founder of the church and that he knows me. Jesus said over there in the book of Matthew chapter number 16, upon this rock I'll build my church. And that's this house he's talking about. And let me tell you, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. Did you ever notice how the devil's unleashed on you whenever you're trying to walk right, talk right, spit right, and live right, and do what's right in the sight of the Lord? Do you ever notice there's a battle that rages on? That's the truth of the matter. I want to say that I'm glad to say to you that if you're down here at the house of God, the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Over there about Acts chapter 2, about verse number whatever it is, 45, 47, something or another. But the Lord adds to the church. If you're not in the church tonight, you're not saved tonight. And I don't mean if you're not a member here. I mean if you've not been played and planted in the house of God somewhere. When I got saved, you know, God put me in the house of God. You got saved, God put you in the house of God. Now, you know, I may get so bad and all that, and you can't stand side of me, and I can't stand side of you, but I can tell you what you will do. If I live however many more years it is, I'll be in the house of God somewhere. Yeah. Serving God. See, a lot of these people, they went and they jumped, they play hopscotch Baptist. They hop over here, and if they don't hear what they want, they hop over there a little while. And if they don't like that, then it ain't long, they've hopped out. And what they do is that their family suffers for it, and there's many of them little boys and girls that I see that used to be young like this, that used to sing for Jesus just like this, and now they're looking both ways for yesterday because of the fact they've been pulled out and pulled apart by their own mamas and daddies that just kind of fizzled out along the way in life. Now I'm going to tell you, God put me in the house of God and you couldn't take a crowbar and get me out. I mean, He just can. And the reason being is because of the fact I don't always feel good about it. And listen, if you think for 1 minute that you have trouble among yourself, you ought to try pastoring a church sometime and realize you're not going to ever make everybody happy. Well, listen, I can't even make God happy. But I'll tell you my priority is trying to make Him happy, walk by His word, walk in His way, and I'd like to help everybody else come to a place of happiness. But you're not always going to have that in the church of the living God. You're just not going. And if that's what you're waiting on to ever serve God, you're never going to be able to serve Him. You're going to find out that here's what Solomon was asking. And Solomon said, listen, whenever we come down to this house, and if we pray here at this house, we're asking you to hear in our behalf the word being dispensed according to our prayer, and that it might be in accordance to thy will and thy word. Now, we read this morning here that if my people, and talking about the people of God, which are called by my name, and let me tell you right now, is we are called by His name because He called us in by our name into the family of God, and He gave us His name, and now we're children of God. But notice, if you will, in verse number 16, the Bible said, well, back up to verse 15 of this, of chapter number 7 that we looked at. Now, mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. He's talking about the house of God. And let me tell you right now, is every time somebody gathers here like you and I've gathered here, and every time we get to the place to where that we're talking to God and taking prayer requests, somebody said, how come they take prayer requests every time? Because we want God to know that this is what we desire from this place, out of this house. He promised that when there's a prayer that's made unto God from this house, I'll tell you what He'll do is He'll hear and move in our behalf. Now, it's not maybe not always the way that we ask it, but it'll always be pleasing in the sight of God if you and I are praying, asking the will of the Lord to be done. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out my eyes shall be open, my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. You know what that means? God's ever looking and God's ever listening to what's going on down at the house of God. He's not taking off. Well, I can't get a hold of the Lord. Listen, I don't know what's the matter with him. Either he doesn't have a cell phone, or he's laid it down, or he's not charged the battery, or blah, 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 blah. No, you'll never find that with God. He's always listening. He's always hearing. He's always looking. And let me tell you, He's got His ear in tune with what's going on and being said down at the house of God. You know, every time I've ever been to the house of God, is that sometimes I wanted to and sometimes I didn't want to, but every time I leave, I'm glad I did. Amen. See what I mean? Amen. I mean, don't beat yourself up about the fact, you know, some people are trying to go on a feeling, and let me tell you, I'm going on a feeling, but I'm not just going on a feeling. I'm feeling what I am going on, and sometimes I don't feel good. I don't feel as glad as I do at other times, but I'm always glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm always glad when we got up and when we got and leave. Sometimes, you know, I'm listening to other preachers, and sometimes, you know, the word of the Lord busts my hide just like it does yours. I'm always glad when they don't bother me a whole lot. But let me tell you right now, when they do, I want to take heed to what God said and apply. You know, just when I read the Bible, I used to study underneath a plum tree. I told you about that book that Joseph Eileen that I got. I looked on, by the way, on my copy at the house. It was $1.95. Now they're $5.95, and isn't that about what they were, $5.90-something? $1.95. And they may have changed the format a little bit in the front. Thomas Watson, another author that I recommended, he's the one that wrote the foreword of the book and the preface of it and the preface or whatever you call that thing. But anyhow, is that I used to read that underneath that plum tree. And here's what I generally try to do is that when I'm reading something and they use a Bible passage, I stop and look it up and make a mark in my Bible and in my heart with it to make sure that it's right and not just take word for what they said. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you find is that there were times that I would sit there, I'd read a paragraph or two, look the word of the Lord up, and get on my knees and cry out, "Dear God, dear God, I'm an unclean, like Isaiah, I'm an unclean man." And I'll tell you right now is that you'll find that that's what the word of the Lord does. He is so high, he is so holy, that you and I at best can only be holy in the Lord by the touch of God, by the grace of God that he's bestowed upon you and I. Now, God said, I'm going to listen to it, but in verse 16, "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house." Now, you know, somebody's going to tell you one of these days, "Well, I don't believe you got to go to church to be a Christian." Well, you've never read the book of Genesis, chapter number 28, whenever over there Jacob said, "This is the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven." Do you realize that, oh, the church of the living God is the gate to heaven? It's not the door. You know, the door is Jesus Christ. Judas kissed the door of heaven and died and went to hell. But let me tell you, when the house of God is mentioned, you're going to find out, "Unto him be glory," the Bible said, in the church. Somebody was arguing with me after I'd got saved. I didn't know a lot of places in the Bible, but I knew a few. And somebody said, "Well, you know, I'll tell you right now, you ain't got to go to church in order to be a Christian." I said, "What does it mean over there in Ephesians, whenever he says, 'Unto him be glory in the church'?" I wanted them to explain that to me. Yeah. They don't have an answer. "Well, I see right now I can't talk to you." Sure you can. If you're going to make a statement, you ought to talk to me about why it's right or why it's wrong, so forth and on, according to the word of the Lord. You know, that's what's wrong right now in the day we live in. Religious people hear something they don't like. I don't believe that way. I don't believe that way. Well, how do you believe? They don't know. They just believe whatever their friend believes or whatever tradition is or whatever it is they like to be able to do. And they just, somebody said, "Well, you know, there's a few things I like to do that I feel good about that you're probably going to be against." I'm not going to be against them if God's not against it. But I'm not going to be for it if God's not going to be for it. See? See the difference? And, you know, there's sometimes people come out of Sputnik somewhere and something out of, you know, bad pizza, and they think they've seen a UFO, and now they're spitting and sputtering something that makes no sense at all. I was thinking about years ago, there was an old boy, of course, I thought he was saved, but he's not saved. But anyhow, he was way back when, and a man used to sing, I'm talking about, pick a guitar and sing, him and his family, and just a night. But he was witnessing to an old boy one time, and he asked him, he said, sir, "Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Are you saved?" And the guy said, "Far out, dude." He said, "Does that mean yes or no?" And he said, "Tell me how you got saved." He said, "I was standing right here in this place, and there was a limb off this tree that brushed across my shoulders. Chill bumps went up and down on me, and I felt a cold breeze as it went through." And then he stopped. And he said, "Okay, what else?" "That's it." "Well, man, that ain't salvation. That's a norther blowing in on you." You see, these people got a lot of crazy ideas that are in the world. You better stay with what thus saith the Lord. And let me tell you right now, there's no such thing in the Bible as a Christian who is not in the house of God. Now, that's going to make a lot of people upset up and down the road of life. Let me say it again just so you'll know it. There's no such thing as a genuine born-again child of God who is a Christian, but what? They've been added to the church of the living God. Now notice in verse 16 of that text that we've read, "For now I've chosen and sanctified this house." Now you may not like this house, but let me tell you right now, God's chosen it. God sanctified it. That means he set it apart, that my name may be there forever. And he says, "In mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." Do you realize and know that if you don't feel the same way about the house of God, that God does, you need something done deep down in your heart. Notice the next passage. "And as for thee, that if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, and saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel." Now, we're not going to read the rest of it, but I want to tell you what he's saying in the essence there. You can tell if you're a child of God or not by how your walk is in comparison to his word. That's what it's saying. If you walk according to my word, isn't that what he says? If you and I walk according to the word of the Lord like your father David did, according to all that I commanded thee. Well, where is that over there in 1 John chapter number 2, whenever it said, "Any man that saith that I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." I can't tell you how many people have gotten mad at me in days gone by, and there's been a few. In 48 plus years, there's been a few. And what are you mad about? "Well, because he told me I was a liar." I remember at one church that we had, and somebody went out and said, "Well, I just got through being told that I'd never raised my kids right." It wasn't none of you, so you don't have to get so sucked up and tired about it. It wasn't one of you at all. Of course, you're talking about people who have daughters that turned out to be road whores and have young men turn out to be dope heads and drunkards. So obviously somebody messed up somewhere. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, God is looking at you and God is looking at us. God is looking at me. And let me tell you right now is that you know what the problem is, don't you? Like some of these kids. Some of these kids, you know, they go to praying. Naturally, we teach them to pray one for another. And while they're praying, they'll call out somebody that they, you know, that's dear to their heart. Call out their name. And if you're praying together to where whoever you're calling out their name can hear you, they sometime one of these kids, "Hey, what you calling my name out for?" Well, I can tell you the reason being is because of the fact we're concerned one for another. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, don't ever hesitate to call out my name. You call out my name all you want to. Every time you pray, I not only need the prayer, you need the practice, but buddy, I sure need the prayer. See? Let me say in closing that, if you will, that I don't know about you, but I love this house. And I'm glad when I come down here. You ever just have the mully grubs and you came to church anyway? And got down here and God spoke to your heart and God didn't give you a little bit of encouragement and faith. And you left here in better shape than when you came. That's a good thing to do. That's a good way to be. It's always good to have something real from the hand and from the heart of God. "Great peace," the Bible said, "have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You know, since the day I got saved, I've never been offended one time at the house of God, at the preaching of the word of the Lord. I remember whenever I first got saved, you know, sometime I'd go visit another church. I'd go to thinking, I wonder if people that know me have called ahead. They were more obvious about me than Brother Sam was. The Spirit of God was punching that word right to my heart. See that? Aren't you glad that an infinite holy God is able to take and look at each one of us and know exactly what we need and exactly where we are? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You come to church, you sit here, and sometimes your mind begins to wander a little bit, you know. And as it begins to drift aside, you can discipline yourself just for a few minutes to be able to thank God for how good that He's been. I wonder tonight as we get ready to stand to our feet, are you glad to be in the house of God? I hope so. If not, I hope God shall make you glad and put you. Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We bless your holy name. We thank you now that thou art God and beside thee there is none else. We want to say thank you once again for all these boys and girls and these young men, these young ladies, these men and women. Lord, we thank you for each family. And we pray your blessings be upon them. And we pray that you'd find us busily occupied about your business this week and looking with great anticipation to thy coming again, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.